high above the windy blue skies of Earth, slowly rotating at the edge of deep space, is the Arthur C. Clarke Astronomical Observatory, Starlab. Last week's episode began on Earth's moon, a quarter of a million miles beyond Starlab, when Omega General Industries uncovered the corroded hull of an ancient alien spacecraft during a lunar mining operation. Carefully widening the excavation, the moon miners find the mummified bodies of 50 extraterrestrial humanoids scattered in grotesque positions around a 4-foot-high statue made of glittering black crystal. 2 hours later, Professor Victor Conrad and his research team arrive to investigate. Conrad takes the statue to the science complex at Lunar Base 12. 24 hours later, he contacts Dr. Maura Cassidy on Starlab.
Maura, has the statue arrived yet?
It'll be here in about a half an hour. We heard from the shuttle a few minutes ago.
How is it being transported to Earth?
We've got an SET cruiser standing by.
Well, tell them to be careful, Aunt Maura. When we ran the thermal tests, it started to emit an ultraviolet glow that had all of us hallucinating. For a few minutes there, we thought the statue was coming to life. They finally sealed it in a small liquid oxygen duct. As long as it's kept cold, it's completely inert.
But 10 minutes later, the shuttle carrying the statue is penetrated by a tiny meteorite that splits open the statue's pod. And when the shuttle co-pilot goes to Cargo Bay 4... When the shuttle arrives at Starlab, the co-pilot is found hanging upside down from a storage rafter, dead. And the statue is found outside its shattered pod, staring up at the co-pilot's contorted body.
Victor, have you come up with anything to explain how the statue got out of the pod?
Not unless you're willing to accept the possibility that the statue really isn't a statue at all, but some kind of transmorphic creature that feeds off the psychic energy of intelligent beings.
The next morning, Conrad and his research team resume their experiments with the statue samples they've kept at Lunar Base 12. But as Maura sits in Starlab control, monitoring the interior of Conrad's moon laboratory by remote visual link,
what's going on? I just saw some telemetry from Lunar Base.
Look, there's been an explosion. Jerry, contact the Solaris and tell them to get to Lunar Base 12 as fast as they can.
John, buddy, what is it? What do you see?
Maura, Lunar Base 12 no longer exists.
What do you mean?
It's been blown to pieces, completely leveled. Skipper, screen 6.
Buddy, what is it? What's happening?
A ship, just above the horizon. We're hit.
Its starboard fuel pod split open, and two of its thrusters damaged by laser fire from the alien ship. The Solaris banks away from the moon and makes an emergency landing on Starlab. A few moments later...
Maura, the alien ship, screen 10.
Listen to me, Starlab. I am Stygos, High Priest of the Trell. You have stolen the symbol of our redemption.
The symbol? The statue?
Narl is his rightful name. We have traced him to your moon. We know his presence has graced the machine you live in. Where is he?
I don't know.
Then take your last look at the stars.
Starlab's confrontation with the Trell ship continues as part two of the ISA conspiracy, the Diatoms, takes us deeper into the mystery of the dark god Narl, an ancient demon creature from the starless dimensions of alien worlds.
wait. Please wait. I know where he is. But if you destroy us, you'll never find him. Because I'm the only one who does know.
The secret of Gnarl's whereabouts is not yours to keep.
And the lives of the 200 men and women at Lunar Base 12 were not yours to take.
They were violating the sanctity of Gnarl by subjecting the fragments of his being to the light.
But they didn't know they were doing anything wrong.
Gnarl is not a merciful divinity in the sense that you understand mercy. Neither is he forgiving in the sense that you understand forgiveness.
But there's nothing about innocence to forgive.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Suffer the darkness until you do.
Mora! Mora!
Mora, what's happening to her?
Don't touch her! Don't touch her!
Buddy, medical alert!
Which one? Which button? Sector 4, buddy! The yellow one!
Mora, don't try to panic. Just lie still.
This is Medical 4. Stay where you are. An emergency unit is on the way.
Jerry, your hands. Are you all right?
I guess so.
What happened?
Well, she was watching the screen, talking to the alien. And then the screen threw off a tremendous burst of color. Then the lightning was all over her. It was so cold, it burned my hands.
John?
I'm right here, Mora. And so is Buddy. Dr. Rossiter's on her way.
John, I'm blind.
Sightless, visionless, unseen, Mora's eyes eclipsed by a light-fearing intruder from an alien world. From a visual scanner screen in Starlab Control. Filaments of sub-zero lightning lash out and curl around Mora, freezing her in a painful web of cold, crawling electricity. A web Stygos has somehow spun from his ship, which lurks near Starlab like a huge dark spider. When the lashing ribbons of lightning finally release her, Mora falls, blind.
Your blindness is just a warning, Mora. How long it lasts depends upon how soon you tell me where Gnarl is.
Shut down all the transmitter frequencies, Jerry. Now run a check on Screen 10's receiver circuits. Whatever they use must have come in through the outside lens.
Okay.
What are you going to do, Mora?
They find out where the statue is. God knows how many more people they'll kill. I can't tell them. I just can't.
Are you sure?
Yes. No, I don't know. Why does everything depend on me? Can't anyone else make a decision?
John, the receiver circuits on screen 10 are completely burned out.
Okay. Shut the louvers and all the outside scanner lenses.
They're closed.
Oh, Dr. Rossiter, am I ever glad to see you.
Oh, Diana.
Mora, what happened?
I've been blinded.
Oh, my dear God.
There's a hostile alien ship outside. It fired some kind of energy beam in through one of the scanner screen lenses.
All right, Mora. Now, let's have a look. I'm shining the light directly into your eyes. Can you see it?
No. But I think I can feel it.
I'm taking the light away. I'm shining it into your eyes again.
Yes. Yes, I can feel it.
Let's get her on the stretcher and take her up to sick bay.
Take her free. Okay.
Jerry, you better have Dr. Rossiter take a look at your hands.
No, I'm okay now.
What do we do now, Maura?
Tell Stigos you know where the statue is, but explain that it's going to take time to get it back here. If that doesn't work, use our photon injectors on his ship. Maybe they'll be able to do what the laser cannons on the Solaris couldn't. I'll contact Commissioner White and tell him what's going on. Now, come on, Diana. Communications first, and then sick bay.
Sound general quarters, Jerry. Okay, open a close proximity frequency. Let's see how good we are at telling the big lie. Stigos, this is Captain Graydon.
Have you made a decision?
Yes, we decided to give you the statue.
Our sensors indicate that Gnarl is no longer aboard your machine.
No, he isn't, but we've contacted the laboratory where he was taken, and our scientists are sending him back.
You're lying, Captain Graydon. We've monitored no transmissions.
Close the channel, Jerry. Now open number 8 scanner lens and project a target grid onto the screen. All right, interface the coordinates of their ship with our photon injectors. We have a target in a lock. Stand by. And for God's sakes, keep away from the screen. 4, 3, 2, 1. No good, Skipper, no good. Their force field is deflecting everything. The ship's coming around. Jerry, shut down screen. Too late. There. Buddy, hit the deck. Crawl away from the lightning. It stopped. What happened? Jerry, let's see what's going on. Skipper, the ship's moving away from us.
Buddy, look!
What is it? Magnify it, Jerry. My God. It's a city. A floating city.
As the black metal insect ship of the Trail stalks away into the dark distances of deep space, a huge floating platform appears and slowly moves towards Starlab. On the platform, a dazzling architectural phantasm, a dream city of white crystal towers, transparent steel minarets, gleaming arches, and pale metal domes. As John, Buddy, and Jerry stand silently in Starlab control, watching the approach of the shining mirage-like metropolis, Maura tries desperately to contact Commissioner White at the ISA Command Center on Earth.
I'm sorry, Dr. Cassidy, but it's a top security conference. Commissioner White left strict orders that he wasn't to be disturbed.
Listen, you, we've got an emergency situation up here.
I'm only following orders.
Yeah, right. That's what they all say.
Now, Maura, if you don't change your tune, I'm going to be forced to stick a tranquilizer syringe in your backside.
ISA, please have him contact me as soon as possible.
I will, Dr. Cassidy. ISA, out.
If I could only see.
Maura, we haven't even examined you yet. And already you're acting like a poor little orphan child who's got herself lost in the woods.
I am.
Yes, you am. Don't start feeling sorry for yourself now. We have too much to do.
Attention all Starlab personnel. The emergency alert is terminated. Stand down from general quarters and return to your stations. Dr. Cassidy, please contact Captain Graydon and Starlab Control.
John, it's Maura. What's happening?
The Trail ship has broken off its attack and left the area.
What did you do to get him to back off?
It wasn't anything we did. It was something else.
What?
A city.
A what?
A floating city.
Are you serious?
Maura, he's serious. It's holding a position 2 kilometers off Starlab. A huge space platform with a fantastic white city built on it. It looks like something out of a futuristic Arabian Nights.
I'll be right there. Come on, Diana, take me back up to the bridge. Still out there?
Hasn't moved an inch.
Oh, Maura. It's so beautiful.
Are you here, Jerry?
I'm right here.
Please, open a close proximity frequency.
Go ahead, Maura.
This is Dr. Mara Cassidy. Would you please identify yourself?
Dr. Mara Cassidy. Which of those three names do you have the greatest affection for?
Mara.
We are the Diatoms, Mara. And we inhabit the star city of Imbria. I am Phaedra, Sky Priestess of the Before Time. We know your machine has experienced an encounter with the Trell. Did Stygos harm you?
Yes. Yes, he did. I'm blind.
Can you feel the light upon your eyes?
Why, yes. Yes, I can.
Then it will be my pleasure to restore your sight.
It will?
Of course. We have no vehicles of our own, so transport yourself here to Imbria. A projection of light will guide you. I'll be waiting.
Oh, yes. Jerry, call the short-range vehicle hangar and tell them to get a shuttle ready. John, Buddy, Diana, let's go to Imbria.
Imbria, a fantasy of gleaming crystal and bright transparent metal, a construct of light and serenity and magic. A floating star city, casting its radiance over all who grope their way along the blind corridors of alien worlds. Inside the white crystal city of Imbria, which floats 2 kilometers beyond Starlab, Phaedra kneels in her meditation chamber, listening to a sky mantra, the Diatom healing music she will use to restore Mara's sight. On Starlab, Mara, John, Buddy, and Dr. Diana Rossiter enter the short-range vehicle hangar and move toward the shuttle that will take them to Imbria.
How's it going, Bobby?
Might as well get aboard, John. We'll have her fueled in another 10 minutes.
Aboard the Black Trail insect ship, Stygos, alone in his quarters, receives a message from his tracking systems officer.
Stygos, what do you want? As our ship withdrew from Starlab, we monitored a transmission. It was the voice of the female who received the transmission. A laboratory on Earth. Ultracourse. That laboratory is our new destination.
Meanwhile, at the ISA laboratory, Commissioner White and Julian Benedict, head of the World Council's experimental weapons section, are debating over which of their two organizations should have possession of the black crystal statue, Gnarl.
Matthew, if we can take the energy that statue puts out and incorporate it into some of our experimental thought weapon hardware, we'll be years ahead of everyone else in that area. Don't you see the advantage of that?
No, Julian, I don't. This is a science complex and not an arsenal.
Matthew, weapons development is as much a part of science as molecular biology or celestial mechanics.
Is it? When was the last time you heard of someone being killed by a microscope or a mathematical equation?
The bomb started out as a mathematical equation, didn't it?
Yes, and so did triple-yield agriculture and antibiotics and spaceflight. The bomb was created within the reality of a global war, Julian. That reality no longer exists, and I see no reason to encourage its return. The last thing we need is a repetition of the arms race of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Didn't the petroleum war teach you anything?
That had nothing to do with us.
It had everything to do with us, Julian, and you know it.
I want that statue.
Julian, do you believe in the evolution of human consciousness?
Of course I do.
What about immortality? Do you believe in that?
Yes, I suppose so.
Then would you mind telling me of what use weapons are to evolution and of what use war is to immortality?
I didn't come here to discuss abstract philosophy.
The statue stays here, Julian.
Do you know what this is, Matthew?
I haven't the slightest idea.
It's a World Council directive signed by the Secretary, ordering you to release the statue to my section.
Julian, we both know your section is being phased out. Why are you going through all this?
It won't be phased out for another year. And if I can help it, it won't be phased out at all. After all, what if the statue should fall into the wrong hands? What would be our defense against it?
Can I see that directive? Thanks. You'll have to excuse me now, Julian. I have things to do. And stay away from my people. I've already given them orders not to cooperate with you. As far as you're concerned, I'm the ISA, and this is between us.
What is this, Matthew? Some kind of conspiracy?
Yes, it is, Julian. A conspiracy of my values against yours.
Everyone strapped in?
Wait a minute, buddy. Maura, shouldn't that strap go over instead of under?
What strap?
The one you're sitting on.
Oh, I was wondering what that was.
Better?
Yes, thanks, Diane.
Okay, buddy, let's run it down. Navigation and thrust vector systems? Check. Attitude gyros? Locked. Service propulsion and reaction control systems? Positive.
Commissioner White on B-channel.
Thanks, Jerry. Punch him in, buddy.
Mara, I just got your message. What's going on up there?
More than I ever thought possible. How soon can you get here?
It all depends. Does it have anything to do with the statue?
It has everything to do with the statue.
All right, I'll leave right away.
Now, where were we?
Ignition, Skipper?
Don't mind if I do.
John, Buddy, Mora, and Dr. Rossiter jet toward the Diaton star city, Imbria. Commissioner White enters the short-range vehicle dome near the ISA laboratory and boards a priority shuttle. 5 minutes later, the shuttle is towed from the dome to launch pad 6. Then, as the setting sun slowly erases the day, the shuttle lifts off and disappears into the darkening sky, racing toward Starlab on twin streams of fire. Meanwhile, 550 kilometers above and 400 kilometers south of the ISA laboratory, the Black Trail insect ship enters the Earth's ionosphere.
Approaching the laboratory, Stagos. Have precautions been taken? Our impulse deflectors will confuse the echo patterns of any detection beam that touches us. We will appear to them only as a flaw mirage. Leave me now. I sense that you are restless now, but be patient. Your disciples are near. Your deliverance is at hand.
Part 2 of the ISA conspiracy, The Diatons, was written by Ron Thompson. Our cast included Linda Gary, Chuck Olson, Bruce Miller, and Corey Burton, with special guest stars Rusie Taylor, Michael Rye, Francis Bay, Robert W. Morgan, and Ernie Anderson. Associate producer Jeff Allen, music director Tom Rounds, engineer Stu Jacobs, assistant to the producer Roger Brossi. Alien Worlds was created, produced, and directed by Lee Hansen and is distributed by Watermark Incorporated. And so until next, inviting you to join us for The Lightstorm, the conclusion of the ISA conspiracy on Alien Worlds.